I feel like when we get to Vayeshev, it's like the sad realization that Bereishis is coming to an end. The story does seem to go pretty quickly. But I guess we got to enjoy it while we do, which is kind of why every time I'm like, oh, we could talk about Chanukah or we could talk about Vayeshev. It's never much of a question. Okay, so let's take a look at the first couple of psukim of the Parsha. And let's kind of try to understand a little bit what's going on. I want to share with you tonight an idea from Rabbi Lamb and an idea by Rabbi Bernard Berzon. Okay, so here we go. Vayesha Yaakov Beretz Megurei Aviv Beretz Canaan. Yaakov settles in the land of his forefathers, Beretz Canaan. So Rashi's famous comment here is that Bikesh. Because Yaakov leishev b'shalva, Yaakov wanted to stay in peace, and Hashem says it doesn't work that way, right? Like you'll have peace eventually, but now is not the time for it. So I think that that's like a hard Rashi to really understand, but I think it's more like this: like we can have peace, but we have to do our part. So if the brothers had been able to get along, so then that's it, like. It could have been very different, but because the brothers couldn't get along, so it takes a different path. So Yaakov is not prevented from peace, but the brothers prevent that. Pasuk bet Eila told Yaakov Yosef ben Shvasei Shana Hayaru at the Chabatzon Vunar Bnei Bilha Bnei Zilpanashe Aviva Ive Yosef Adibatam Raul Avihem. So these are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef is 17 years old. He was shepherding with the brothers. but with the sheep, and he, excuse me, and he was immature maybe, or he hung out with the Bnei Bilha and the Bnei Zilpa, who are the wives of his father, and Yosef brought bad words back to his father. Okay, so that's a pretty heavy pasuk. Any questions on that pasuk?
Yeah, why is it only listing, if it's totals Yaakov, why is it only stopping with Yosef?
Okay, good. So why is what's the place that told us Yaakov? And even if it was starting with Yosef, you would expect that if it says Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef, then what would the case be? Yosef would be like
Ben Rachel, whatever, like his brother, right.
Or it's closer to when Yosef was born. Yosef is 17 years old. So these are the children of Yaakov, Yosef. Like, it doesn't make much sense. But okay, so the first question is, what's the purpose and what do we understand Eila told us Yaakov to be? Okay, good. Any other questions?
Well, I guess he doesn't hang out with Bnei Leah.
Okay, so could be why doesn't he hang out with the Bnei Leah? Maybe that goes back to the previous Rashi of Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. If he had hung out with the Bnei Leah, maybe things would have been different. Okay, good. Anybody else?
Usually when it goes through, when it starts, when it prefaces it with Ele Todot, something, it usually gives you a historical recap. It lists all the kids. It tells the story of Yosef. It's not a historical. Telling a story.
Right. So the question is, why do we need the words Eila Toldot, right? I think that's the question.
That's my point, yes.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So you and Cyril are on the same page, just making sure. Okay. Yeah. Excellent.
And referring to Bilha and Zilpa as Neshe Aviv, you know, why do they need to be defined as such here?
I think that actually is interesting. It could be that the fact that they're listed as Neshe Aviv is almost like a bump up. They're not really Neshe Aviv. They're Pilag She Aviv. So the fact, maybe it's saying that he hung out with the Bnei Bilha, Bnei Zilpa, and he treated them like Neshe Aviv or something like that. I mean, it is, sorry, my screen just did something funny. It is an interesting question, but I do think that there's the possibility that it's like, you know, there's something going on here telling us that they really shouldn't be that, and yet they've been upgraded to that. Okay?
And so on the tail end, my Vayeshev surface Diba Samra, whose Diba Samra does he bring? The Bnei Zilpa or the Bnei Leah? It doesn't make sense, it would be the Bnei Leah, but... And if it's Bnei Zilpa and Bilha, they were the ones that really led the charge against it. I'm not sure. I don't know what it means, honestly.
Right. So, So in the last couple of years, not that long ago, we actually did a chabura on the B'nai Bilhah and the B'nai Zilpah, and I think that that's actually one of the questions. The question is, do the B'nai Bilhah and Zilpah like Yosef or not? Meaning, does he hang out with them because they're the Nebuchs, and they and then he goes back and tells his father the bad things that they did? Or is it that he hung out with the B'nai Bilhah and B'nai Zilpah because they're more likely not to hate him, and then he brings back the Dibatam Ra'ah about the B'nai Leah, who he's watching but he's not with? So yeah, it's a good point. The only other question that I think jumps out is Hayaro'eh et Echav Batzon. What does that mean? He was shepherding the brothers with the sheep. Right. It should be Im Echav or just Ro'eh Batzon. So that is also
what's with, I think.
Say again?
The word et is used, it can be used as for with.
I think it's usually like eight.
Shepherding his brothers in the sheep as opposed to shepherding the brothers.
No, shepherding with his brothers.
Sheep with his brothers.
Yeah, so it's a little awkward, but okay.
Yeah, no, I we're not going to spend much time on it, but I think it is important to point out that that phrase is a little bit difficult. Okay, so let's take a look at what Rashi has to say. Rashi offers us an answer about Eila Toldos, Yaakov. He says, Ve'eila Toldot Shel Yaakov, Eila Yishuveyim V'Gilguleyim Ad Shavo L'Chal Yishuv. So he says that this is actually, what does it mean? These are the stops and these are the struggles that they have until they become settled. Sibari Shona, so why is it? Yosef ben Shasrei, Al Yedei Zenit Gal Gulu V'Yarud B'Mitzrayim. They only really become settled when they hit Egypt. That's when the Jewish people really become settled. So why is that? Because Yosef was 17 years old. This story over here is what ultimately leads them to settlement in Egypt. Zeu achar yishu pshuto shel nikra li odavar davur al afnav. So that's like pshat. Umeder shagad the dorish talakotav told with Yaakov b'Yosef if they kam advarim. So the other possibility is that Yaakov's lineage or Yaakov's toldot are really Yosef. Why? Because the only reason why Yaakov worked for Laban was because he wanted Rachel. And Rachel is the mother of Yosef. They had the identical face. So again, same thing. And whatever happened to one happened to the others. Zenistam is Zenistam. This one was hated. This one was hated. This one's brother wanted to kill him. This one's brothers wanted to kill him. And Bereishis Rabba is probably more examples of the similarities. So God says, Tzadikim, they want peace in the world, but you know, isn't the next world enough for them? It's probably like the nechama for Klal Yisrael. What do we want? We just want peace. So God says there is peace in the next world, but in this world, we were not meant to have peace. Okay, so that's Rashi. So Rashi is suggesting that the Eila Toldos Yaakov is actually teaching us one of two things. Either it is just, it's historical accounting of what led the Jews to Egypt, and the only way to get there is through this seminal event that happens when Yosef turns 17 years old. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the true continuation of Yaakov is Yosef. Why? Because the stories of one is the story of the other. Okay, so that is Rashi. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel. V'Yisrael Ahavat Yosef Minkol Achav Kiven Zekunim Hulo V'Asalo Kitonet Pasim. So Yaakov loves Yosef because he is his old, you know, the son of his old age, and he makes him a Ketonet Pasim. He makes him a colored coat. Vayiru achav ki oto hav avyem kol achav yisnu oto v'leyachlu daro l'shalom. And his brothers see that his father loved him from all the brothers. He hates him and they can't speak to him in peace. Rashi points out that it's actually to their eternal credit that rather than pretending, right, we've probably all met a person or two like that, rather than pretending that they like them, so they actually are not peaceful to him. Okay, so we'll skip the dreams because it's not important to what we're going to learn tonight. And let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Bet.
Vayelchu achav
lir'ot
etzon avihem b'shchem. We have a question.
Yeah.
Question. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
So the question is, I know we've had this discussion over the decade and a half of learning. When Yaakov is used and when Yisrael is used, right? Yaakov is like national and Yisrael is like personal, right?
Those right.
are schools. Mm-hmm. So if we just explain according to Rashi that in the first Pasuk, or actually the second Pasuk, Eilat Toldos Yaakov, so that's the national thing, and he talks about Yosef being his lineage, okay? But then, really, it's not that Yosef was his lineage, it's that this thing happened with Yosef, that his brothers hated him. That's what caused the sale, et cetera, et cetera. So then I would argue that Yisrael should have been used in Pasuk, Yaakov should have been used in Gimel. Yaakov ahad es Yosef, not Yisrael ahad
Yosef. I thought it was reversed.
It was a personal thing, but it led to the national calamity, if you want to view it as a calamity.
Yeah, I think maybe Steve said it. I think it's the other way around.
Okay, even the other way around. No matter how you spin it, they would both be the same. Thank you for the correction.
Meaning that they should both be Yisrael.
Yeah, they're both at this same level. They're both the what happened to all of us. That's
right.
Maybe the turning point is
Steve, I can only see your eyes. It's very disconcerting to see half your face.
I'm looking at the text.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so it's very possible that the turning point in all this is the end of the previous pasuk, where when Yosef comes to speak against his brothers. Maybe that's the point where it was, you know, on the fence, and then him speaking badly pushed everything, you know, was the last thing to push everything, the dominoes down.
Right. I mean, the question is, if there had been no Ktonet Pasim, would this have happened? I mean, I guess the dreams would have like bothered the brothers, but like maybe they would have chalked it up.
Of course, it would have been something else.
Right. Maybe they would have chalked it up to our brothers being like an idiot. He's like a typical teenager, and they would have been willing to get past it. But then they see, wait a second, he's got the coat, and the coat is like the symbol that the dad has accepted him as the leader. There's a really interesting Rashi when Yosef gets thrown into the pit. So right before that, it says that they took off ekutanto et ketonet hapasim. So Rashi points out, this is what Foreman points it out often, is why does it have to say that ekutanto ketonet hapasim? Obviously, isn't the ketonet hapasim? So he says that what did they take off? They took off the ketonet, his regular coat, and they also took off the ketonet pasim. The ketonet pasim bothers them so much. So that's like piece one. But on top of piece one, so they take off the second one, meaning you thought you were special that you had the extra cloak. We're going to knock you down. Not only will you not even have the extra cloak, but you're not even going to have your regular cloak. So it goes from, you go from being above us, not to equals again, but to below us. So it could be that that's what really sets them off. But Shmuel's point is probably correct, that if it hadn't been the ketonet, something else would possibly have set them off. But yeah, I hear
you. I agree with that. I mean, the whole thing really is symbolism, right? I mean, if he was his favorite, then he acted that way all the time.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, I mean,
it's hard to believe that it's just the coat, that, you know, the cloak that did it. It probably is just the physical symbol that set them off. He had to have been acting like he was his favorite.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think basically, David, your question is a very good one. That's, and I don't have an answer, but it's definitely a good one. Okay. Fine. So where are we up to? We're up to Pasuk Yudbet. V'yilchu achav lirot et tzon aviyem b'shchem. So the brothers go lirot et tzon aviyem b'shchem, to shepherd the sheep in Shchem. It's interesting that once again we have lirot et tzon aviyem. Before it was hayaro et echav batzon. Really, it should be v'yilchu achav lirot tzon aviyem b'shchem. Rashi points out the et is that they were really taking care of themselves in Shechem, and the sheep happened to have been there. Which is interesting because generally when we think of shepherds, shepherds are very selfless people. They're just one with the sheep are, you know, need a lot of care. They need, you know, like the shepherd has to be completely devoted to them, and here not so much. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef. So he says, you know, your brothers are ro'im b'shchem, not ro'im et hatzon b'shchem. They're shepherding. I want you to go there and check on them. And his answer is not yes. His answer is, here I am. It almost seems like he's answering the previous question. The question would be, Yosef. And he's like, here I am. But yeah, he says, here I am. So vayomer lo lechna re'e et shlom achecha v'et shlom atzon v'ashvein davar v'shchem me'im chavron v'yavo shchema. So he says, I need you to go check what's going on. How are the sheep doing? How are your brothers doing? How are the sheep doing? And bring me back a response, how it's going. So what happens? The pasuk then says, v'yishlacheinu me'emek chavron. He sends him from emek chavron, from the valley of Chavron, and he goes to Shechem. Now it's interesting that Rashi points out, and others as well, that there is no valley in Chevron. So what's, you know, at first I thought, okay, that's like a typical case of Rashi not being aware of the landscape. It makes sense, right? Rashi was learning from France, and the you know, the psukim would require one to know the landscape of Israel. But Rashi's quoting the Medrash. And the Medrash was generally written by the Tanayim. And the Tanayim lived in the land of Israel. So there's no question that the Tanayim knew what Chevron looked like. So there's an Emek in Chevron. If you've ever been to Chevron, you know that the Arabs live on one side of the mountain, high up. The Jews live on the other side, surrounded by a lot of Arabs, also somewhat high up, but not quite as high up, and then there's a dip in the middle. So there is a valley in Chevron. But Rashi says, Chevron is a har, Shemper Vayulu Benegev, Vayavod Chevron. They went up from the Negev, and they ended up in Chevron. Elame Eitza Amuka, Shal Oto Tzadik HaKavur BeChevron, Lekayim Meshen Amar Lavram Bein HaBtarim, Kiger Yeh Zaracha. So it's really Eitza Amuka. Emek is from deep. It's the deep advice. It's in order to fill the plan of what was told to the person buried in Chevron, namely Avraham, that your children will be Gerim in a different land. Pasuk Tedvav. Okay, there are definitely questions on this pasuk. Vayimtzaehu Ish. A man finds him. Vihine Toeba Sadeh. And he is wandering in the field. Who's wandering in the field, by the way?
Either way.
Right. It could be that the man is wandering.
Like Yosef.
Right, but presumably it's Yosef. The man sees him, finds him, and he is he's wandering in the field. And the man asks him, what is it that you're looking for? So apparently, we actually did a whole chabura on this topic of the man a few years ago, because I had this like amazing chabura in my head on Wednesday with this beautiful piece by Nechama Leibowitz, and I was about to start writing the chabura, and I looked back at the chart. I was like, oh wow, we did this like 5-6 years ago. So there is a good question about who this man is. And Rashi says, we'll see, it says Vaish Gavriel, the man is Gavriel, and then other Mepharshim say it's just a man. And then the answer that Nechama Leibowitz gives is that it's actually both. Everybody is an angel of God in some way. What's an angel? Like an angel comes from the Greek word that means a messenger. It's really like if I do something good, I'm an angel of God. I'm a human being, right? I'm not a celestial being, but that's just how it goes. So that's how Nechama Leibowitz understands that they're both right. It's an angel, and because it's fulfilling the will of God. But really, it's also just, it could just be a regular person. But let's focus not on who the person is, but some of the questions here. Any questions you have on this pasuk? Okay, so the first question is Vayim Tsa'ehu Ish, the man finds him. It seems like the language shouldn't be the man found him. Meaning the man, when you find something, the implication is that you were. Yeah, thanks, David. You are muted, but I was able to read your lips. Yes, you're looking for it, right? When you're looking for something, you find it. If I'm like going through my desk looking for my wallet and I find my passport, I didn't find my passport. I bumped into my passport. So it would be Vayif Kesheyu. Vayim Tse'eyu Ish means it seems like the guy is actually looking for him, but he's not looking for him. He's just there. So why does it say Vayim Tse'eyu Ish? It should say something like Vayif Kesheyu Ish. And then what's his question? His question is Ma Tivakesh. What are you looking for? What really should be his question?
Me.
Me Tivakesh. Who are you looking for? So that
could be a sheep.
What?
How is he supposed to know that that Yosef is looking for people?
Yeah, it could be a sheep.
Yeah, because the text knows what's going on here. So, like, the story doesn't, the conversation doesn't really matter all that much, right? I'm sure he didn't use the words Mativakesh. Probably he was not speaking Hebrew. So, but why does it have to be Mativakesh? He's clearly looking for someone, not something. So that is a question. And the last question is, why is this significant? This whole conversation, what does it really add? Why can't it just be where the narration tells us that what? There is no, that his brothers weren't in Shechem, and then he goes from there to Dothan. Why do we need this whole conversation? So, but, well, yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, Mom, the vacation, you know, it's very open-ended. So it's very possible that this is more like he has choices. Yosef has choices of what's he going to do? You know, is he going to do what his father told him? Or is he going to, you know, shirk this death sentence, responsibility, I don't know which is the best word.
Right.
He has a choice before him, and this is him being presented with a choice. What are you going to do?
I hear. I mean, it's a bad choice. He should have gone home, and then the story would end very differently. But yeah, I hear that. So
in this pasuk, it shows that Hashem was involved. If he would have just gone from here to Dothan on his own, it would have been happenstance. And mm-hmm. You kind of see that it is part of God's plan.
I hear. Okay. Probably we could probably avoid the conversation still by narration explaining a little bit of that, but okay, I hear. Pasuk Tetzayin, Vayomer Tachayan Ochi Mevakesh, Hagidani Li Eifohim Roim. I'm looking for my brothers. So what happens? This Rashi that we have quoted here should actually be after Pasuk Tetzayin. Vayomer Ish Nasumizeh. So he says, your brothers have left here. Rashi says, Nasumizeh Hisiu Atzman Mina Achva. They're no longer your friends, right? Your brothers don't like you. He's telling them that. Kishamati omrim ne'elcha dotayna ve'elech Yosef acharachav v'imtza'eim bedotan. So what happens? He says that I heard that they said that they were going to Dothan, and Yosef follows his brother, goes after his brothers, and finds them in Dothan. So take a look at the bottom, the middle one, actually. There's three grade varts. This one is from the Pninim Yekarim. So he says, Nelcha dotaina, levakeshelcha niklei datot shemiyutcha bahem. Rashi says that, why did they go to Dothan? That they were going to do, they were judging him there, right? V'tamua, minayin adrasha zeh. Why is that, where does this drasha come from? Harei b'met, yesh makom, sheshmo Dothan. He says that there actually is a place, Dothan. If you take a look at the map, it's a good reminder that the map is actually there for a reason. Take a look at the map in the top left corner. So you have Hebron on the bottom, and he goes up to Shechem, right? So if you look just past Shechem, a little bit up north, is Dothan. They actually go to Dothan. Gilad is there because that's where the Midianim come from, right? The people that sell him, they come across by Gilad, end up in Dothan, and then ride the route down along the coast to Mitzrayim. So the Pinim Yikarim says, look, it doesn't make any sense. Dothan is actually a place. You see, sometimes when Chazal darshan the name of a place, the reason why they're darshing the place, right? Nechle datot, loaz Dothan, dat, is that the place doesn't exist. So if the place doesn't exist, then you're stuck. Like, why? What do you do with that place? But we don't have that as the case here. There actually is a place called Dothan. So he says, Afshar lo mar ki l'chora kasha. Eich yachlu achei Yosef lasot lo ra'a. How could they do bad to him? Harei hu alach befkudat aviv. He had gone on his father's word. V'kia mitzah kibud av. He was doing kibud av. V'kaimelon, and we know, shluchei mitzvah einan nizokim. Right, people that are doing mitzvos, nothing happens to them. Ela shachim yadu mizot. This is a wild halachic discourse. The brothers knew this. Lachain bekavana halchu ledotan. That's why they went to Dothan. They knew that their father wouldn't know that they were in Dothan. Their father would think that they were in Shechem. So their father would say, go to Shechem. So there, when he gets to Shechem, until that point, he's doing the word of his father. But once he goes to Dothan, kimitzah aviv, hayashay leil chashchem, lo achicha roim mishchem. Im came, but Dothan lo yashliach mitzvah, vilu hayat nechle datot. Once they got to Dothan, they were no longer being mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av, and therefore, if they could hurt him. It's a cute vart, but that's about it.
Also in the end, while there's the perception that they hurt him, it was all for good.
It's true, but they don't know that. Meaning, they're actually they're
planning. It was a speed bump, a very big speed bump.
Yeah, but since their plan originally was to kill him, the speed bump saved him. That's what they really were trying to do here. He's just going to get off the hook because Reuven is quick on his toes and Yehuda also. Okay, so we have a lot of questions. We have a lot of questions and we have to answer them. So the questions that we had at the beginning, right, they were like part one and part two. Part one was, what do we do with Eile Toldot Yaakov? And part two had a couple questions, which is, what do we do with Me'emek Chavron? Why is this conversation important? What do we do with the word Matzah as opposed to Vayifkash? And Mimevakesh? And what is the man's answer when he says Nasumi Zep? So let's take a look at the next three sources. It's three psukim. Three other times we have toldot. Ve'eila toldot, it's not in order. Ve'eila toldot Esav avi edom bahar seir. Ve'eila toldot Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedor tavet alukim italich Noach. And the third one is ve'eila toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham will lead it Yitzchak. Says Rabbi Lam, there are four levels of toldot. What's the first one? Ve'eila toldot Esav. This is these are the generations of Esav, Avi Edom Bahar Seir, who is the father of Edom. It's interesting that he's the father of Edom. He's actually not really father of Edom. He is Edom. So he's father of the nation Edom. I think that I heard this from Avi Lermer once. Avi Edom. What is Edom? Edom is from the color red. And he says that there's something... Oh man, a quote of Hirsch that said something about like the way we see the color red is just different than other things. It like does, it sets off some emotion in us, but I can't remember exactly what it is. But Edom comes from the word red, which is symbolic of our passions. What is the story of Esav? The story of Esav is his passions. Esav is a person that pursues his every want and his every need. That's the very lowest level of toldot. What's the next level? Eila toldot Noach, Noach. It's an interesting read. We really don't usually read it that way. Read it as Eila toldot Noach, Noach ish tzadik. But others have read it as, what is the generation of Noach? It is Noach. What's Noach's toldot? It's himself. Noach is a person that's completely focused on himself. He's focused on himself differently than Esav, meaning Esav's focus on himself is, I see her, I want her, I'm going to pursue her. Noach's focus on himself is, I see that that's a good deed that will get me closer to God, so I'm going to do it. But if we were to paint a picture of Noach, Noach is like the ivory tower person who hears the kid drowning in the water but is busy meditating and like drowns out all the other noise. That's Noach. And the last one is Ve'ela Todo Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham olided Yitzchak. Yitzchak's generation is the generation of Avraham. Avraham olided Yitzchak. Why the redundancy of the pasuk? It's to tell us that one, the Yitzchak is the exact clone. Everything that, which is interesting that Rashi says the same thing by Yosef. We're not going to interpret it that way. But Yitzchak is the spitting image in every which way of his father. Whatever happens to his whatever his father did, he wants to do as well. He says that the danger of that is that when a child follows his parents 100%, and there's something amazing about a child that we could say he follows the Mesorah of his parents, but one who follows that the manners this manner and is exactly like his father, it's a dangerous path. Why? Because the expectation is that your child has no creativity, your child has no special qualities that makes him unique. Which leads us to the final one. Ela Toldo Yaakov Yosef. That Yosef, who's a 17-year-old, his father says to him, I want you to take your own path. I want you to do your own thing. Go pave your own way. The problem is that sometimes a person is not ready to go out on his own. Yosef ben Shvasrei Shana. Yosef is only 17. He's not ready to be a leader. He is not ready to get that cloak of leadership, that coat. He really needs more time. And Rabbi Lam says, when we send our children out a little bit too early, what happens to them? Often, tarof toraf Yosef. You have to send them, but send them when they're ready. And that is the idea of Ela Toldot Yaakov, is that Yaakov had a child that he wanted to put on the path to success, which he's ready to do, but there's one piece that's missing. He needed to wait just a little bit longer. So he sends him out, and what happens? He meets these guys. And what happens with these guys? So the conversation is Ma Tivakesh. What is it that you're looking for? And it says Vayimtzeehu. He found him. So Rav Bernard Berzon says the following. He says that the man that meets Yosef is actually asking him a question, not saying what are you looking, who are you looking for, but saying what makes you feel lost. Right, you're toeh basadeh, you're lost, you're wandering. What makes you feel lost? What is it that you're looking for? It's a deeper question. What is your mission, Yosef? And what does Yosef say? Yosef says that I'm looking for my brothers. The thing is that Yosef doesn't hear his answer in the next pasuk, or in the last pasuk, where he says, Nasumizeh. Your brothers have left from this, meaning, in a certain sense, this guy is here to question Yosef. Yosef, you have a mission. Your father put you on a mission, but maybe you're not ready for your mission because Nasumizeh. Your brothers have left from this. They're not ready. You're not ready. And whatever it is that you want to do, it's not the proper time. Sometimes there are people that tell us things that are really helpful, but we don't listen. And that is Yosef's problem. The only question I think that we're left with still is, why does it say Me'emech Chevron? And I want to share with you, and with this we'll end, an idea by the Sukkot Shavar Rav. And he says the following in the very last part. He says, Ha'inyan hu Avram Avinu shenitgadel beveito shel Terach, machom choshech vafeilo shel avoda zara, mishavad al dato v'yikert elokim nitgabra etzlo biyoter hachuka l'chol davar kadosh. Avram Avinu, unlike his children and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, he grew up in a dark place, the place of Avodah Zarah, in Terach's house. And once he understood, he recognized God, whenever that was, so he had this great passion for those things that were holy. B'derech yitron ha'or min ha'choshech, in such a way where he preferred light over darkness. Kol davar shel k'tusha haya chadash etzlo v'chaviv alav ad ma'od. Anything holy was new and beloved by him. V'haya Avraham mityarei. Avram was afraid. Shazaroach harav asher yivaldu v'itgaldu al birkei kedusha. Shema berabot hayamim lo tia avodat Hashem davar shel chidush etzam. It's possible that in the future, when they're used to this, it's generations and generations of people that have only seen good, what will happen? They will take it for granted. U'me'at ma'at yitkareru v'yazu ederach ha'kodesh. And slowly they will lose their way and they'll cool from all things that are holy. Al kein hayta atzato. Therefore, his eitzah was shebanav yishtabdu begalut, that their children, his children, should have to be, suffer from exile, kedei sheyargishu shuv et hahefresh bein or lechoshech, so that they'll clearly see the good, the difference between light and darkness, v'titchadesh v'titkadel etzlam atshuka l'kedusha. And therefore, says the Sakat Shaver, what that will do is it will give them this great need and this great desire for holiness. I felt that this Vart is so powerful because it's the story of the Jewish people for sure, and it's not just Avraham and the Bnei Yaakov that need Galus, but what happens? The story of Jewish history, which is perfectly mirrored by Sefer Shoftim, is that we get too comfortable and we forget what our mission is, and when we forget our mission, God hits us with some sort of exile, with some sort of suffering, and then we realize once again, oh yeah, this is actually what it's all about. And I thought that, you know, if there is anything that contrasted the difference between the Jewish world pre-October 7th and post-October 7th, it's this idea from the Sakat Shaver. And if there's any little bit of nechama we can have nowadays, it's this. It's that we were a people pre-October 7th that forgot what our mission was, or at least a lot of us forgot what our mission was. And the themes that you see so clearly coming out of so many different sources is, it's the battle of good and evil. It's the battle of light versus darkness. And perhaps every year I try to like maybe at least pretend that we like, you know, address Hanukkah at some point during the Chabura and Vayesha, but perhaps that's really it, is that the Jewish people are children of light and Yavan is darkness. And that's really what the fight is. We have a mission. Sometimes we forget our mission. The parasha starts off Eilat Toldot Yaakov. Right? Yaakov, Rashi says, what is it? Bikesh Yaakov Leshe Beshalva. If only we could have remembered that we are the people of light, instead of infusing, or instead of, taking all that away and having the darkness of the fights between the brothers, imagine how different it would be. Avraham Avinu recognized that there would be multiple times throughout Jewish history where we would have to confront that, where we would become too complacent in either our religious life or our interpersonal life, that God would have to give us a reminder. Could only hope that Emir Tzashem, just like by Yaakov Avinu, his children are eventually redeemed, and just like by Hanukkah, the Jewish people are redeemed, it doesn't happen quite as quickly as the story takes place. It takes many, 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 many years, 20 plus years. Hopefully, in a much shorter time, we too will see that the light wins and darkness is removed, and Emir Tzashem, we too should see the Geula. Have a good Shabbos and a happy Hanukkah.